What's up, everybody? Welcome to Water Break. My name is Ryan Cavan, and I'm here with my co-host, Terrell Thorogood.
What's up, everyone? And like always, we've got another dope episode prepared for you guys. So before you keep listening, hit that subscribe button on whatever podcast app you're listening to right now. You're ready to relax? Take a water break.
Welcome back to another episode of Water Break. And we got another cool episode prepared for you guys. I'm excited for this one. We're heading into NBA free agency.
That's right.
The NBA draft is, we're recording this on a Monday night, but it'll be tonight for those of you who are listening on the podcast or on our podcast platforms or on YouTube. If you're watching, the draft is tonight.
It is.
And we're super excited for this. So I'm looking forward to this. How about you, Ray?
Yeah, I'm pumped about this episode for multiple reasons. The only bummer I would have to say about this episode is I feel like it's going to come out Wednesday morning. And by Wednesday morning, there's already going to be a lot that happened in NBA free agency. But the good thing is a lot has already happened for us to talk about. So yeah. I'm pretty pumped about the different conversations and kind of what has already happened in free agency. I mean, literally, it's 9 o'clock right now, Pacific time. And just 15 minutes ago, Woj just dropped another bomb on us.
Yeah, there's been like a couple bombs already dropped.
So to have a conversation. So it's like some of the stuff we're like, all right, we're just going to talk about it and roll with it. Like in professional sports, obviously the sport is, you know, the best part, but it's so cool how, especially the NBA, they make free agency like almost like an event for us, you know. Yeah. It's almost like another game, and then the draft is like another game, and it's there's something that happens every day, and so I love that about sports.
Yeah, I think the NBA's done a really good job of building right into their into their seasons, you know, in comparison to other sports. NFL does a good job with it. It builds up its draft, although its free agency is not nearly as exciting.
It's not as exciting.
A lot of pieces moving.
During the offseason, though, there are a lot of trades, I guess, that move that are exciting, but you're right. Nothing
to really anticipate. You know, Tom Brady was the big one this year, but other than that, like no real major people you're looking out for.
No, for sure. NFL, but. Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you there, but I'm excited about the conversations today because we're going to be covering some weekend review stuff, and then we're going to be talking a little bit about NBA free agency, the draft, and just kind of all of that since the season is really going to come up like super quick. I mean, it's practically in a month.
Yeah, we're almost four weeks out.
So it's coming really soon. They haven't really given out the schedule or anything yet. Obviously, you know, the Lakers are going to be on night one. I don't know who they're going to play. If you were a betting man, who do you think they would face the Lakers against in game one?
I think logistically the Clippers would probably work well. Mm-hmm. But I think as far as like getting, like excitement back, I think it'd be cool to see Golden State in LA.
I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah, I think Golden State in LA would be a really cool,
I think they would do one. Golden State, especially with Clay coming back with Steph.
A lot of unknowns Dre, about Golden State.
That's the one thing about, you know, you listen to all these talk shows and everything like that, talking about who are the top teams in the West, who's the top teams in the East, and some people are like, oh, the Warriors are going to be there, the Warriors aren't, you know, the Warriors will be up there, but they're not going to be the number one or the number two team. It's like, you can't forget, they still have Andrew Wiggins and the number two pick. Like, what are they going to do with that? Are they going to keep those guys? Are they going to make a big trade? Like, what is going to happen? That'll be really interesting.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about them.
Yeah, yeah. I'm jumping ahead of it. You know, I get excited because I was about to ruin one of the things I have ready to talk about.
That'll be a good one. If they do a doubleheader, I think Brooklyn and Boston would be a good one.
That would be cool. Definitely.
Yeah.
I was about to say something else too, but we're gonna move this along to the week in review so that we don't have to ruin the rest of our show here.
We'll stay up to date as the bombs drop. Daylen's gonna keep us posted on the bombs. And speaking of Daylen, what do you got for us this week, Day?
Do you have the alerts on your Twitter for Woj now?
Yeah, the Woj bombs are just off the handle.
He's coming, man.
That's my favorite part of the day is when my phone goes off and it's a Woj bomb.
Is that your favorite player? Like, Woj is your favorite player.
Woj is my guy. So let's jump into this week in review. Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals defeated the Buffalo Bills 32-30 on a game-winning Hail Mary touchdown to none other than DeAndre Hopkins.
What a throw.
The catch. Yeah. The throw was great. Like, he put it, you know, in a good spot up for grabs. Like, a lot of times you see those Hail Mary passes, they always throw it, like, to the back line of the end zone or, like, the edge of the, like, on the goal line. So it's like, you know, he put it right in a good spot. But I mean, man, that was over three guys.
Yeah.
Three defenders. He went up, snagged the ball, brought it back down. It's cool. I mean, it's
what did he say too? He when they were talking about the defense, he's like, no, they were in the right position. It was just a better catch.
It was a better catch. Yeah.
It was a better catch by eye.
Yeah, by eye. That's what it was.
And then he referenced the basketball when he put his hand on his head. Yeah. He goes, in basketball terminology, that means someone got dunked on.
Yeah.
I was just like, he dunked on three people.
Is he the best in the game? Is he the best receiver in the game?
It's still up for grabs. I mean, Davante Adams, he's been balling too. So I don't know. It's still up for grabs. Julio Jones.
Julio Jones is in the conversation. Those are the top three, I think.
DK or no?
Not yet.
Not yet. Michael Thomas was out for most length for a good chunk of the season. He would have been my guy. But I mean, we'll see.
He's up there.
It's still up for grabs.
The Pittsburgh Steelers remain undefeated at 9-0 after beating the Bengals 36-10. You guys think they're going to lose a game this year?
I mean,
who do they got coming up in the next few weeks?
I think they'll drop one. Yeah, I don't think they'll go undefeated. I mean, I think they've been fortunate to play some. You know, I'm going to say their entire schedule's been easy, but. You know, they've had some light games, obviously beating Dallas the week before, beating the, you know, Cincinnati. So, I mean,
it'll be a little tough, but they play the Jaguars, they play the Ravens, the Washington football team, the Bills, the Bengals, the Colts, and the Browns.
I'm calling they lose to the Bills. December 13th.
The Bills will be a good test. That's my birthday. Shout out December 13th. Also,
happy early birthday.
Taylor Swift's birthday. So, yeah, fun fact.
Wait, what? Whose birthday?
Taylor Swift.
Oh, Taylor Swift.
Yeah, Taylor Swift. We share the same birthday.
Wow.
Shout out.
You have a good conversation starter if you ever meet her.
Yeah. You're like, hey, we have the same birthday. You're only 2 years older than me. So I would go with, you know, I'm going to go with the Colts. I'm going to say they're going to lose to the Colts. I think they'll drop three.
I think they have a good chance of, if not going undefeated, only losing one.
Buffalo's going to be a tough game. The Colts won't be an easy win, and then you got Baltimore too.
Yeah, but Baltimore lately hasn't been anything.
Baltimore's not been great, but at the same time,
teams know how to play Lamar now, and Pittsburgh's got the best defense in the league, so I think that's a win. But
I think they lose one or two. I would say they lose to the Bills and maybe another one that they. You know,
If they do lose one, it would be to the Bills, in my opinion. But other than that, it'll be interesting to see.
I mean, but at the end of the season, they could, you know, the last game. I mean, they could rest against the Browns, you know, and they could end up dropping that game as well. So if starters aren't playing or whatever, so.
Well, I mean, they're talking about that expansion into eight teams.
That's true.
You know, if they have to cancel some games, so it's like no one has a bye week at all. So
yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
Tennessee Titans wide receiver Corey Davis played one day after his brother died of cancer. He finished the game with 5 receptions for 67 yards. It's pretty crazy just to think about that, you know, after a family member died, he's out there playing.
Yeah,
playing
he got real emotional the Thursday night game. And, you know, he played well. I mean, he's on my fantasy team, so I was obviously watching closely on him, but you know, he had a good game, had a solid game. You could tell. I mean, I was watching a little bit of the game, doing some other stuff, and I'm like looking at his numbers. I was like, okay, he's not like going nuts like he, you know, he had done in previous weeks. And then started to watch the game again, and I'm like, okay, you could tell like he's playing a little bit differently. Like something's obviously, you know, going on. But then, you know, see him in tears and stuff like that was a pretty, you know, sobering moment.
Yeah, moments like that is, you know, obviously there are a ton of reasons why we love sports, but that's just another added reason of why we love sports so much is those big moments you can think about in different players' careers, you know, when Michael Jordan won that championship after his father passed away, and all of those different moments are just really cool to see when people, you know, looking at their lowest moment in their life and then, you know, taking that and playing on the field and playing in those circumstances after IT had that big playoff performance after his sister passed away. Moments like that are just
that
really
was the
cool.
same day. His
was
sister,
it the same
his
day?
Sister passed
oh, okay,
away
I thought it
earlier
was the next
that
day.
Earlier that afternoon, yeah. And then he went off that night.
Yeah, I remember just you could see visibly before the game he was sitting on the mm-hmm. bench, you know, during his warm up and just. I mean, of course, I mean, naturally just brokenhearted and then to see him come out and have that big game moments like that. Just another reason why we love sports so much. And
another sad storyline. Penn State running back Journey Brown says he has a heart condition that is forcing him to give up football. Brown posted on Twitter that he has hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, a disease that causes heart muscle to become abnormally thick and can make it more difficult to pump blood. Just another, you know, as a college football fan, you know, seeing that, I remember, you know, Journey Brown was their starting running back last year and then and just had a great year. And then this year was supposed to be their starting running back. And then unfortunately wasn't able to start. But, you know, Penn State had hopes that he would return. And then devastating news, you know, he finds out that he's going to have to give up the game. And, you know, just another sad storyline of just a player that, you know, has given his all and, you know, yeah. and potentially, you know, mm-hmm. could have been, you know, in the NFL, but, you know, due to a heart condition has to give it up. So,
yeah, you feel for guys like that. I mean, I first saw on KJ Hamler posted on his Instagram, you know, played at Penn State last year.
Teammate, yeah.
You know, and it's just, you know, he's another guy, again, like promising guy, you know, definitely could have played in the league, but you feel for guys like that. But, mm-hmm. you know, at the same time too, like it's, also cool to see like the support mm-hmm. support from you know the former teammates and everybody around them, so you know to see them hopefully I wish all the best to Journey Brown and he's you know he's gonna be all right.
Yeah, it's I mean it's happened you know before in sports. You think about emotional moments. I mean you remember Isaiah Austin, the center for the Baylor mm-hmm. When he wasn't able to play, he had a heart condition too, I believe. And, you know, the NBA ended up doing something special for him and ended up actually drafting him to the NBA, not to a team, but the NBA drafted him and kind of made that moment really special for him. And you could tell it was emotional for him, his family, you know, these guys who, again, we all play sports, but those guys literally are looking at it as this is going to be my career. They're right. investing so much into it. It's definitely emotional to see, but like T said, it's really cool to see the support and people rally around them and those moments like that, again, are really cool to see.
Definitely. Well, wrapping up the week in review, the Golden State Warriors have submitted a plan for home game coronavirus testing to allow 50% fan capacity. The Warriors are prepared to spend upward of $30 million to test every fan, Warriors employee, and player with the most accurate form of COVID-19 testing for each home game or day they come to Chase Center.
That's going to be interesting. I mean, I didn't know. I mean, you brought it. I had heard about it, but I didn't, you know too much about the plan. So it was a good thing you broke it down. I don't know. I mean, the NBA, they definitely did the bubble and, you know, the crowd noise was good. And the NFL is doing the whole crowd noise thing right now, which is, you know, it from watching it on TV feels good. But then at the same time, you look in the stadium, you know, you can obviously see like, there's no real home mm-hmm. field advantage.
Yeah.
So I think basketball even more so is a game you just feed off the crowd. Like you can't just hear the ball. I mean, obviously they did it in the bubble, but now playing in a giant arena, I don't know. I think you gotta get the fans back, you know, back in there. But yeah, but again, like we said earlier too, it's getting the fans to, you know, trust, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
trust to go back in there and get COVID, because they have to get tested right before every game.
Yep.
They're talking mm-hmm. about getting it for every game. So that's going to be interesting too.
Yeah. One thing I love about our show is we try not to get like too political. So I don't want to get political here with this, but I especially in California where we're at, I don't see it happening. The Lakers came out pretty much immediately and said they're not going to do anything to have fans this season at all. Jeannie Buss came out and said that. I don't see a way that the government allows them to. Again, I hope it works out, because if it works out, maybe it'll allow these other organizations to say, hey, there is something we can do. But I do give respect to the Warriors, because if you are going to propose to have fans and to do something like that during this pandemic, you could tell that they put a lot of work into this yeah. to making it so that something can happen. Because I think they realize too, and the players have said it multiple times, I mean, fans are really important to the game of basketball, that energy it creates and everything like that. I mean, you remember when they originally had talks of playing without fans before the NBA even shut down, LeBron James has said, I'm not playing without the fans. I mean,
yeah,
because before pre-COVID, you couldn't imagine a game without fans there. That's how valuable they are. And so a ton of respect to the Warriors for trying to put something together to make that happen. But I just honestly, I don't see it going through.
Yeah, I don't. It's, I don't know. I hope, again, like you said, I hope it works. I hope it goes through. But, you know, obviously, I think Adam Silver was saying like 5 to 10 teams might be able to start, you know, with having fans. I don't know. I feel like at least, you know, even with the Lakers saying nothing, like that, at least, you know, friends and family, you know, or friends of, you know, staff or whatever, like allow them to go, you know, sit in there. I mean, it's, you know, 20,000 plus, right? 21,000 maybe, something like that, or 18,000 or somewhere around
I think
there.
Staples is like 19 or something 19,000.
So, I mean, it's a big stadium, a big arena. I mean, why not, you know, have those games there? And then I think the Raptors are trying to figure out where they're even going to play.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Because I think because of travel back and forth between United States and Canada. So that's...
Yeah, Staples Center is 19,000.
19,000 Staples Center. So, I mean, even the Raptors situation... They don't even know where they were going to play. I think they were talking about playing in Louisville for a little bit, but I don't know where.
I like what the Warriors owner, Joe Lacob, said. He said, yes, we're trying to get fans and get revenue, but I'm trying to set a standard. I'm trying to show the world how this can be done safely. And I think, too, how Ryan was saying, we don't think that it'll happen, you know, in California of all places, you know. But I think, too, at the same time, what he's talking about is, give us a chance. Give them a chance to at least show everyone that it can be done and it can be done safely. And everybody who's going to be in here is going to be, you know, tested before they come. And they were even saying if they knew if, you know, people coming who are going to be traveling on planes will be tested and things like that, as far as like they are going to lock this thing down so hardcore that it's going to almost be impossible for somebody to be in there who has, you know, the virus. And I think too, you know, it's very hard being in California and having, you know, just the thought of having fans at games because it is very, very, a very, very political state. And just with the governor here and the Warriors being, you know, so close to Sacramento and Newsom being a former mayor of San Francisco, like it's just, I personally don't think it's going to work, but I think if they do give the Warriors a chance, I mean, they're working with, you know, these top companies, you know, in the health industry,
$30 million.
$30 million. It's just like to them, that's chump change for how much they're going to lose in revenue if there are no fans.
Yep.
So I say give them a shot, see if it can happen, see if we can do it. And you know, like Ryan said, we try not to get too political, so I'll just stop there.
The truth of the matter is, you know, no one even before they announced that they were going to do a bubble, like it was mind blowing that something like that could work. You know what I mean? And what happened? They tried something and it worked. So like you know, like what you're saying, I just want to echo what you say and what you said about the owner. Like, give them a chance.
Right.
Like, give them a chance. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But I really think that the investment they're putting in, the work they're putting into it, I think something like that really could work. And it'd be.
I just think if it doesn't, if nobody stands up and tries to set a standard now, when is it going to stop? When is this all going to go back to normal? You know what I mean? So I think somebody needs to give them a chance. Somebody needs to do it. And if they're willing to invest that money and try, especially in California, and try to make things happen, let them do it.
Yep.
So
I'm more so nervous about the, you know, the whole contact tracing, because I think that's affected college football like a grip, you know, them canceling games too. If it's like, you know, okay, well, we tested someone and they tested positive, we didn't let him into the game, but it's like, well, now who was nearby, who was, and you gotta, you know, now you gotta be quarantined for 14 days versus when you get it, when you, it's only 10 days. And now it's, I don't know,
I guess we'll see,
get it over with,
let's just let this pass. Let's just get back to normal life. Oh man, I did, you know, I thought it would be a long time before we were allowed to go to any sporting event. And, you know, there are some sports that in different states are allowing it to happen. So we may just have to fly to a few games this year.
Yeah, maybe.
We may
I've been to one sporting event since COVID, and it was like, it was a flag football game.
But was it pretty intense? Like, because you've missed it so much?
No.
Okay.
it's one of those. It's like when you're like extremely hungry or whatever, and then like your friend's like, yeah, come over. Yeah, we're gonna have like food or everything. Like, okay, dope. And then it's like peanuts and M&Ms. You're like, for real? Like,
that's like just a bowl of trail mix.
Yeah,
it's one like, bowl of trail mix. Like, Doritos.
There's one of my
like,
friends.
I don't like these, but I'm gonna eat them because I'm hungry.
Yeah, one of our good friends. I won't call him out. But growing up, he would have birthday parties like that. He'd be like, give me food. Give me food here, and he'd just be like, Doritos and pretzels. Like, are you kidding me?
I have to eat a meal before I come to your birthday.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That's what felt like.
Oh man.
Well, all right. Speaking of the meal, let's get into the meat of this episode.
This is cool. There's been so much that happened. While Daylan kind of intros a little bit here for us and shares with us a little bit of what's going on, I'm just gonna go check my Twitter real quick and see what we got here. Woj has not put anything up recently, so I think we're good since we last spoke there, T.
Yeah, we're good.
I don't
good.
Think we have anything new coming up. So
yeah, so today we're gonna preview the NBA draft and the NBA free agency that's happening. NBA free agency started today, which is Monday for the recording, and then the draft will be Wednesday, which will be when this is when you guys are listening to this. And so we're excited, and then the season obviously starting so a few weeks later. So a lot has happened, and Day, you want to fill us in on some of the big news in NBA trades and what's happened already?
Yeah, so right off the bat, on Monday, news hit. A Woj bomb had hit as the trade deadline had opened. Chris Paul was traded to the Phoenix Suns.
Yes, Chris Paul to the Suns. Look, and this was for he's traded for the Kelly Oubre,
Ricky Rubio
in their the first round draft pick 2022, right, or 21?
I think it was 2021.
They have 17 picks over the next 6 years, so it's hard to keep track of which one they got. But yeah, those are the main assets they got. The 2022 first round pick.
2022 first round draft pick. So, I mean, look, I really like this trade for Phoenix. You know, I know the reports are Chris Paul was, you know, very much in on this and wanted to go to Phoenix. Obviously, he talks about him going to the Clippers, possibly going back there. Going to the Bucks, you know, going to Miami, all these different places. But Phoenix, I really like. And, you know, people are talking about, oh, you know, it's going to be great. Devin Booker, Chris Paul, like it's going to be a good backcourt. But the player I feel like I'm excited to watch is DeAndre Ayton with all of this.
Yeah.
He was the Suns.
That hasn't been talked about much.
Yeah, he was the Suns number one overall pick, or was the number one overall pick in the draft 2018, I think, 2 years ago. He was the number one pick in the draft.
With Luka and Trey. And
Yeah. And I really like this guy. He had a good rookie season. Had another good solid season last year. Like he's definitely developing. He's definitely growing as a player. He hasn't been that number one guy. Like the next Shaq is what they were predicting him to be. He hasn't been that guy yet. But I really like Chris Paul. Definitely, obviously, like he's the master in the pick and roll. I think definitely just being able to even get him the ball where he needs it, because I think Ricky Rubio is a great, you know, he's a great point guard, great pick and roll player too. But I think the type of respect that Chris Paul commands coming off of the pick and roll and how much he can, you know, how well he can attack the basket, I think is that huge difference maker. I think DeAndre Ayton's the one I'm looking forward to seeing. I think DeAndre Ayton elevates into that level where he could be an all-star. Not this year, but he's definitely, you know, he's going to boost his career. I think that's the one I'm looking for.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was going to say the same thing when you're saying that is Chris Paul. You have to respect his three a lot more, and he's a better finisher around the rim as well.
Yeah.
So, because Ricky Rubio, you know, he is a great passer. He has a great basketball IQ. But Chris Paul has to command so much more respect. I think it's going to do a lot. Like you said, you know, they've been talking him and Booker, but I agree. It will do a lot for DeAndre Ayton. But also, I think it will help Devin Booker a lot. I mean, look, he already had to play off the ball. He already plays off the ball a lot anyways with Ricky Rubio. And just having another threat, I think that's going to pull people a little bit away from Booker. It seemed like, because he was really the only real perimeter threat. I mean, Kelly Oubre is a nice player, but really he was being really focused on all year. I mean, if you watch the film, I mean, he's being doubled practically every single game, no matter what team they're playing. And so I think that's going to free him up a little bit, give him more open looks, as well as for DeAndre Ayton. I really like this move. I think it's great for the Suns. I think it puts them probably at the 5 or 6 seed in the West. Yeah. I still think the Clippers, Lakers, Warriors, and Nuggets are going to be the top 4 seeds. I don't know where in that list, but I think those are the 4 top teams. And then really 5 through 10 in the West is pretty even. I mean, you got Portland, again, Houston, I think, is going to be off, especially if they make those trades. But if not, Houston will still be there. Portland, the Pelicans, you got to remember.
Memphis,
they were the 8 seed going into it without that play-in game. They're actually in the playoffs if it wasn't for a play-in game.
Yeah.
I think there are other teams. I think those 5 to 10 teams. No, actually, you know, San Antonio definitely could be in the playoffs, you know, especially, you know, they...
Utah.
Utah for sure. So it'll definitely be really interesting to see what happens. But I do like that move, and I like it for the Thunder. I mean, like we said, they have 17 picks. I don't think that's an exaggeration. I think that is the number. 17 first-round picks over the next 7 years, I believe, is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's unbelievable. And we see what Boston did with that.
Yeah.
And again, they haven't won a championship yet, but we look at Boston. I mean, at one point when they were trading away Paul Pierce and all those boys and KG, we were looking at them like, what is happening? Mm-hmm. Why are you getting rid of those guys? But all those assets they had brought in, and man, I mean, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart, like that core, those were guys that they all picked up because of those assets they
had. And even
because
Boston had, two down seasons? Like, they had a pretty quick rebuild.
Oh, yeah, it was real quick. Because when they traded for IT and all of that, I mean, it was really quick. So,
yeah, so you can see the
and that's
same
why
thing.
Doc left.
Yeah.
Remember? You know, he left because he said he didn't want to be a part of a rebuild. And I think you're right. I mean, we would have to fact check this, but I think Brad Stevens has only had one losing season in the NBA, one losing record season in the NBA. So I think they had
one down season, and they had a really quick turnaround. Yeah. So OKC could do the same thing. You know, I mean, he's still got some good young pieces there in OKC and those draft picks. I don't think you're going to use them all to draft players. I think, you know, maybe use and package them together, get some other players, or just move up in the draft. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I like that for OKC.
A little smaller of a trade. I'm not too familiar with these guys, but the Detroit Pistons have traded guard Bruce Brown to the Brooklyn Nets for forward Zanin Musa and a 2021 second round pick.
Yeah, I saw that. I mean, it really does nothing. It's really just unloading contracts. That to me isn't really anything. You got anything on that one, T?
Yeah, no, not it. Dalen said not even really familiar with those guys.
It was a Woj bomb, but not a big one. You know,
yeah, a little bomb, a little stick of dynamite.
Yeah. It was a firecracker.
The Houston Rockets will receive Trevor Ariza and a first round picks in 2020 and 2021, and the Portland Trailblazers will receive Robert Covington. So there was a little trade there with a couple picks in there. So how do you guys think that one's gonna work?
I don't get it. Like, to me, like, the Blazers gave up. I do think Robert Covington's a nice player, but they lost picks for Robert Covington and lost Trevor Ariza. Like, that it doesn't make much sense to me. Like, to me, he's not that great of addition. It's not like we're looking at Portland and now we're like, oh man, T, they got Robert Covington. Like, man, they're gonna be contenders this year. Like, Portland's gonna be up in the top 4. Like, it doesn't do much. Like, with or without Robert Covington, I think that they're a bottom team in the Western Conference.
Here's my theory. I was thinking of this. I think the Portland Trail Blazers picked up Robert Covington, traded for him to trade him again, to move him again. I've heard rumors. I heard rumors of a possible trade of CJ McCollum to Boston for Jaylen Brown, for who's the post player that you guys had?
Tyce
and Jaylen Brown, and I think like a draft pick. So I think maybe the Blazers add Robert Covington in that as a you know, maybe a replacement for a Jaylen Brown. And obviously, you know, your backcourt of Kimball Walker and CJ McCollum. And then obviously you got Robert Covington could play play the three, you know, alongside Jason Tatum. So I don't know. That's the only thing that I could see. Other than that, I mean, it is a Portland thing to do use a pick or just throw in players just to get a random.
Well, to me too, it doesn't make sense. Like, what are they going to do with him? Like, are they going to re-sign Melo? Like,
because even they traded a few years back, they traded Batum for who was the four? They sent him to Charlotte for Noah Vonleh. Noah Vonleh was the move they picked up. So like for Nick Batum. So
yeah,
it's just like one of those things. Is like, I don't get it. I don't know why, but
it didn't make much sense to me. But I don't know. To me, again, with or without this trade, Portland's a bottom team in the playoffs. Like, I still, you know, they could be a 7 or 8 seed, but or they could miss it. I mean, that's where they're at. It's not going to change.
Yeah, I definitely think they need to move away. Like, the CJ and Dame experiment, I think, is done. You know, there's even talks of even the Spurs maybe shipping LaMarcus back over to Portland. So I don't know. I think that experiment is
done. I'm with you too. Dalen, I'm a little upset real quick. I hope the next one is going to be...
It is.
No. Okay.
I thought we were going to go the whole episode and not mention it.
I got you. I thought about that too, but I guess it's big enough
I thought I texted you.
The Los Angeles Lakers have traded Danny Green and the 28th pick in this year's draft to the Oklahoma City Thunder for guard Dennis Schroeder.
And it's Schroeder.
Yeah. Why don't you go ahead first, D?
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's already been stated. Can't be overstated. I hate the Lakers. But definitely a good move for the Lakers. Obviously, the prospect of Rajon Rondo not re-signing in free agency is a good security pickup. And obviously, I think he's obviously a better scorer than Rajon Rondo is. You know, Rajon Rondo, we see what he did in the playoffs. He was their, you know, the third best player for the Lakers. So I think Schroeder is a great pickup for the Lakers. I think he can definitely, you know, he's a solid starting point guard. A player that I think, you know, somewhat went under the radar, if you will, last season. He's under the radar of, like,
he was in the running for sixth man of the year.
Yeah, I think under the radar of star power. You know, like, we, you know, when obviously, you know, he played in Atlanta with Jeff T, they got rid of him because Atlanta's like, oh, he's our guy. Like, he's getting, you know, Dennis Schroeder is going to be our, you know, future point guard. And then so everyone, you know, we're looking at him like, you know, yes, he's going to be a star in this league. And then, you know, I think, you know, kind of regressed a little
Trae
bit,
Young,
obviously, you know, Trae Young coming in, going over to Oakley, and then going over to OKC. I think, you know, he had a really good season, but we kind of forgot about him. So I think this pickup for the Lakers is huge, you know, and you're definitely going to get to see him. Obviously, he's going to be on TV a lot more. So good pickup for the Lakers. Danny Green.
Yeah, I think this pickup definitely adds more scoring. For sure, to the Lakers, you know, shipping off Danny Green. And then Schroeder actually averaged 18.9 points per game last season with 3.6 rebounds and 4 assists. So definitely a pretty solid pickup for your Lakers there.
Yeah, I think it was a really great pickup. Obviously, the entire year, we didn't have really a true third option. Each night, it was someone different, whether it was going to be Kuz. It ended up being during the regular season Avery Bradley. Then obviously during the playoffs, like you said, Rondo was kind of our number three. And sometimes it would be Kuz, sometimes it would be DG, and it would just kind of bounce back and forth. But again, like Dalen said, he was averaging 19 points a game on a playoff team with, mind you, three really good guards in Shea, Chris Paul, and Schroeder. And they also had, you know, Danilo Gallinari. They had a pretty deep team. I don't think people give credit to Oklahoma last year. They weren't really star heavy, but they had a really deep team.
Yeah.
And I think that's a reason why they were pretty successful. I really love this pickup. Again, everyone pretty much figured that Rondo was out. I thought personally he was going to go to the Clippers, but I guess more and more that I'm hearing is that Rondo, he wants his money. That's what he wants. He thinks this is going to be the last contract, significant contract that he can get. And again, not like a max contract, but significant contract where he can get a 3-year deal. And I'm hearing a lot that that Atlanta really wants him. Not like I'm an insider, like I hear things from like other players, but from the discussion around the league and stuff like that is that and again with talk shows and everything like that I've been listening to is Atlanta is looking at him and to kind of be a mentor to Trae Young. And so I think, to me, I would hate to see him go to the Clippers because I think he would do a lot of good for them because I think the Clippers need someone like him. That's why it was rumored Chris Paul going there and stuff like that. But I really like the Schroeder pickup, and we keep Kuzma, which is at this point, one or two things is going to happen with Kuzma. Either he ends up being a consistent player. I'm not even saying an all-star, like an all-NBA player, just a consistent player because that's his main problem right now is he's very inconsistent. And if not, he's probably our only trade piece that we have. So,
yeah.
I mean, really, at this point, we don't have any picks. We gave those all away with AD, and everyone else is pretty much on the mid-level exception. Or the veteran minimum. So we don't really have many trade pieces. So
I was listening to Sedano and the LZ show on the radio today, and both Sedano and LZ have completely hopped off the Kuz train.
Many people
and,
have.
And I'm right there with them. I mean, and then I forget the tweet that Kuzma tweeted earlier today, or it was yesterday, but something about, respecting my name or something. Yeah. Just wait or something. And LZ just roasted him and was like, dude.
He said enough with the disrespect.
Yeah, exactly. And he's like, we haven't seen anything.
He deactivated his Twitter.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the thing is, if Kuzma
allegedly, if
Kuzma went somewhere like Charlotte or something like that, I mean, he's gonna go average 25 points a night, 20 to 25. I mean, he had, in the last two seasons, I think he had like 18 30-point games for the Lakers, like in the previous two seasons. On a really bad team, he's gonna be a good player. Like, he's gonna put up decent numbers on a really bad team, but on a great championship team. He needs to be that spot up three, three guy. And he just, I don't know what it is. He just did not fit well with this team. And I don't see it really fitting well this year. I really like, I think he's a good player, but I just don't see him fitting well with our team.
Yeah.
Well, the latest Woj bomb since at the time of this recording, like Ryan was saying, you guys will be seeing a lot more, when you guys are watching this episode. But the Milwaukee Bucks and the Pelicans have been involved in a trade. The Pelicans will receive Eric Bledsoe, George Hill, and 3 future first-round draft picks, 2 future pick swaps, 4 Drew Holiday.
This is crazy to me. I think Drew Holiday on the Bucks make them a very good team. But 3 first-round picks. That's as many first-round picks that were given up for Anthony Davis and for Paul George. And I'm just being real. Drew Holiday is not that caliber player.
No.
He's a very good player. I'm not hating on him at all. He should have a couple of years been on an all-star team. I think he's a very good player, a very good number 3 option on a championship team and a number 1 option, number 2 option on a not very great team, but to give up 3 first round picks for that, man, that is Milwaukee. There must have been someone else in talks to get him. Again, the Nets were talking about getting him. At one point, the Lakers were talking about getting him, but again, our only asset was Kuzma and Danny Green, and they're like, no. Milwaukee must have known something from another team to pull that trigger that quickly. What do you think, T?
Or giving up that much? Yeah, I mean, for Drew Holiday, like, look, like you said, he's a good player. I think on this team, like, yeah, he's a good, third piece. I think he, allows Chris Middleton to, definitely grow. But I think Chris Middleton's a 3. Like, I think you have a 1 and 2 threes on your team. So I don't know. I mean, Milwaukee, like, he definitely makes Milwaukee better, but at the same time, like you said, they gave up a lot for, you know, a good six man, you know, or a good three piece. So I don't know. That is definitely a bomb. And I agree with you. I think Milwaukee was just panicked.
Yep.
And had to pull the trigger. Could possibly be one of those situations where they gave up too much and then their star player leaves anyways, and now they're kind of stuck.
Yeah, if Giannis leaves, that'll be a huge blow to them. You know, if they give up this much and then he ends up leaving, they're going to be in a really bad spot. You know, if Chris Middleton is your best player, like you said, on a championship team, he's at best a three. So I think this probably, depending on what Brooklyn does, makes them the favorites, but they were favorites last year. We both picked them to make it to the finals, and that didn't happen. So, you know, you still, like we talked about, the East is starting to get a little bit heavier with Brooklyn. Obviously Miami isn't going anywhere. They're still a good team. The Bucks are there. Boston, you know, they've been in rumors with pretty much every big name player.
Yeah.
So the East is definitely, definitely not going to be the Eastern Conference very much longer. They're definitely, getting some pretty heavy powerhouses over there. But there's some other interesting, things, you know, in the next few days. We might see something happen with Russell Westbrook, with James Harden. Obviously Houston's looking to blow up there. What do you see? What do you think is best scenario, for, let's go with the organization and then with those two players? What is the best scenario you see for those guys?
For Houston?
Yeah, for Houston. For James Harden and Russell Westbrook. Because they both pretty much said they want out.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely, you know, we talked about on you know, one of the last episodes, you know, we liked Steven Silas as the pickup, and you kind of feel for the guy. You know, he's definitely said, like, I went to Houston for those two guys, mm-hmm. and obviously they want out, which you can't necessarily blame them either. You know, they went there for D'Antoni, you know, and he's gone, and then Daryl Morey's gone. So I think for Houston, though, at this point, you know, blow it up. You know, you've offloaded Robert Covington. You obviously got rid of Clint Capella during the season last year. You know, blow it up. You know, Austin Rivers is probably going to be gone too. Yeah. So, I think best case scenario, Russell Westbrook. I think you try to, you know, you send him to the East. I think he's both of those guys to the East, but I think Russell Westbrook, you maybe send to like a Charlotte. You know, maybe
there's been a lot of links to New York.
Yeah, the Knicks.
They have the cap space.
Yeah, the Knicks have the cap space.
He's owed $138 million over 3 years.
The reason why I say Charlotte because they do have the number three pick in the draft.
Did you see Woj reported though that they're not willing to give up that pick for Russ?
Really?
Mm-hmm. No, that Jordan's not willing to give up that pick is what he said, because they did say that Jordan's eyeing Russ, but he's not willing to give up that pick. It's like,
who else do you have? I mean, you have.
You're going to give Malik Monk?
Yeah, like Malik Monk or Bridges or. Yeah. I forget the name of the kid with the braids.
I mean, you don't really have. I
Graham.
Mean, you
have Devontae Graham.
Devontae Graham, Terry Rozier. Like, what? You know, that's not really that many pieces. I mean, you can give up a few picks, but there's not many teams that are going to be able to swallow or want to swallow that contract.
Yeah.
So, I think you're right, though. I mean, when you think about it, Charlotte, New York. Really, what other teams are going to want to swallow that contract?
Yeah, no, I mean...
I saw the Pistons were looking to maybe do a one-for-one with Blake Griffin. So from what I've seen and from what I've heard, Westbrook wants to, whatever team he goes to, he wants to be the number one. He wants to be the alpha. He wants to basically run the team.
Yeah,
and of course. I think with Detroit, he would be that
but,
guy.
But he goes to Detroit, like they're going to be... at the same spot. I mean, they got rid of Andre Drummond. They're going to get rid of Blake Griffin, who would be, to me, like Blake Griffin would actually be a good pair with him at this point in his career. Blake Griffin has actually turned into a pretty good three-point shooter and can still attack the rim. Obviously, he isn't dunking it as well. You know, he doesn't have the same athleticism and same hops and everything like that, but he would, I think they would actually play really well together, but then it's like, you would have to give up probably three first rounds. Like, are you willing to do that?
Yeah, I would send him to one of those teams. New York, obviously. I think New York just needs a big name. I think he could definitely give him a run to the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, especially in the Eastern Conference. You know, you still got RJ Barrett on your team. So I mean, maybe the Knicks you offload Julius Randle or Knox and, you know, some players like that. So I think that James Harden, though, I'm going to send him to his other possible trade destination. I'm going to send him to Philly.
He really wants to go to Brooklyn.
He's talked about Brooklyn and Philly are, you know, poorly. Those were his, you know, teams on a short list. I'm going to send him to, if there's the option of the Nets, which is, you know, possibly LeVert, Dinwiddie, you know, those are players who are obviously really good pieces, but then you have Ben Simmons, which is, again, he's a, you know, a generational talent. He's 16 point guard. So I think trading him to Philly for Ben Simmons
makes a lot more sense.
I think for Houston, yeah. I mean, Houston, you know, Ben Simmons, again, he's a star to build around. I think Dinwiddie and LeVert, like, they're really good players. I think they're definitely flourish in Houston, but Ben Simmons is an all-star player.
To me, if you trade for Caris LeVert and Spencer Dinwiddie, you are trading a 1A player for two B players.
Yeah.
If you trade Ben Simmons for James Harden, you are trading a 1A player for a 1B player, maybe a 2A player. You know what I mean? Like, he's like you said, he's a generational talent. Like, he's going to come in and he's going to average 29 and 8, you know, just like that, coming into Houston, and, you know, you'll be able to find some good pieces to fit around him. So yeah. I agree with you for sure. What do you think about this scenario? And I'll ask Daylen as well. It hasn't been really, I haven't really heard much about it, but I really think that Boston should make a run for James Harden. They have those young, some really good young assets. I think Jaylen Brown is really intriguing and should be really intriguing to a lot of teams. And he could fit really well with that system. If you could give up Kemba and Jaylen Brown or something like that,
even
Gordon Hayward, I think it would be really interesting to see what would happen there. But I think he
That's
could maybe
tough,
fit dude. In.
You got
Boston
James
there.
Harden and. Because you have Harden and Tatum, you know, is your crew. Yeah. So, I think Boston's still gonna be really good. I don't know. Daylen, wouldn't know what your thoughts are. I don't know.
It's hard to say no to a player like
James
exactly.
Harden.
Yeah,
exactly. And that's my one hang up is it's hard to say no to a player like James Harden. I mean, you just, like, as far as the Kyrie Irving, Isaiah Thomas trade, like, it's hard to say. I mean, at that point, it wasn't hard. Like, yeah, give me Kyrie Irving any day over Isaiah Thomas. Like, yeah, IT just had an incredible year, but at the end of the day, it's Kyrie Irving. Same thing with James Harden. I mean, am I willing to give up, you know, first round picks, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, Gordon Hayward? Like, my head says no, but my heart's like, yeah, of course. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to say no to someone like that. You know, I don't know. Yeah, like he was saying, like, we have Tatum, and it's obviously you can't really compare the two, but, you know, he's our guy. But bringing Harden in, Kemba, Harden, Tatum, I mean, that's a nice three right there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think Danny Ainge would. I just don't know if Harden would fit in Brad Stevens' system. But I mean, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. I think he ends up with the Nets, though, for sure.
Well, that's what he's pushing for, and that to me is really intriguing.
He turned down $103 million extension over two years.
He was going to be the first $50 million dollar player a year.
I mean,
the first ever.
That's crazy
to me to go to Brooklyn. Part of me wants it to happen because I want to see what's going to happen. To me, KD is the number one option.
Yeah, I mean, KD is the best player.
And then who's the two and the three? You know, look at every team that had a big three. Every single one. Someone had to take a back seat. In Golden State, Klay's numbers dropped. In Miami, Chris Bosh. Someone had to take a back seat. I don't see, to me, Kyrie is the third best player out of those three players. I don't see Kyrie taking a backseat. He didn't want to take a backseat to just LeBron. He didn't want to be the second option. So what is going to happen? Maybe he's matured a little bit. I don't know. But that, to me, is really, really an intriguing
thing. Kyrie will have to take the backseat if they get James Harden.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's no way around it.
Good.
No, I'm just saying that, in my opinion, there's no way that Kyrie doesn't take the backseat. I mean, mm-hmm. you have Kevin Durant, James Harden. Like, those two are...
That's your one and two.
That it is your
that
one and
two. That has to be your one and two.
And Kyrie is just... He's not... I was listening to the radio today. Kyrie has not played a full game season since he's been in the NBA. The last time he's played a full game season was in high school. Like, he's injury prone. Like, he has to be the number three in that scenario, because James Harden's not going to take 10 shots a game.
Here's the thing. I think everyone agrees, but will he?
I think, look,
that's the
I mean, I guess since there's no coach in Brooklyn and everybody's just going to do their own thing, maybe not.
Is Steve Nash a player? Yeah. Now,
I think the player that will take the back seat is Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
I think he will. I think he proved in Golden State he doesn't have to have the ball, and can do his damage and can pick his spots and when he's going to go to work. I think he's just there to play ball. Whereas, all the other two guys, Kyrie, James Harden, they still have to somewhat cement their legacy. I know Kyrie has an NBA championship, but they're still like...
They view that as LeBron's championship that he like...
Yeah, he was there. Like, they're still proving themselves. So I think Kevin Durant it would be the guy to take the back seat. I think the offense is going to be very dynamic. I mean, I think, mm-hmm. you know, D'Antoni being there on the staff is huge. I think that's something we're overlooking. He's going to be able to... I think maybe Steve Nash maybe has a little mixture of stuff he maybe wants to do, but I think that whole Phoenix Suns offense, you have Nash, you have Stoudemire, and you have D'Antoni all on the same coaching staff. I think they're going to mix that together. I think Jock Vaughn's still there, but you know, he might be there for, you know, defensive purposes or something like that. But that staff is solid.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I think they're going to be able to make it work. And then obviously, like you said, James Harden reuniting with his old coach.
Yep.
So I'm not worried about them making it work from an X's and O's standpoint. Like I think everyone's more so worried about the relational standpoint. Like, how are you guys going to make that work as far as putting your egos in check? Because again, like we said on the Halloween episode, they're a quiet place. If they can just be humble and say, we're here to win championships and that's it, then yes, they would be, to me, they'd be the favorites to win the championship.
Yeah. I mean, it is crazy. I just, while you were saying it, you know, you said, I believe Jacques Vaughn is still there. He is. He's the highest paid assistant coach in the league right now. And also Steve Nash is the head coach, has Mike D'Antoni, Amari Stoudemire, Tiago Splitter. They have a full, I mean, they have a list of assistant coaches that are, you know, I guess you can kind of say is alpha males, and great basketball minds. So I think they could come together and put together a pretty great, game plan that would allow those three to work. But it's going to take, like you said, that chemistry from those three to kind of figure that out.
To make it work.
To make it work. But I think they definitely have, they have the coaching and the experience to put together a good plan to make that work.
Yeah. I'm with you. I'd want to see it just to see if it works. I think in the best interest of Houston, send them to Philly.
Yep.
Well, unfortunately, there has not been any more Woj bombs since we have started. So
I think that would have been pretty cool to have like a breaking
one
news.
Last one, yeah.
One more breaking news.
But let's go ahead and move into our final segment, and let's talk about the draft tonight. T, why don't you go ahead and start that off for us?
Yeah, this is an interesting draft year. There's no real clear-cut standout number one pick in the draft. And so you've got a lot of top prospects. You have LaMelo Ball. You have James Wiseman, Anthony Edwards. you know, Obi Toppin. Like there's you know, this kid, Denny
Onyeka Okongwu.
Onyeka Okongwu.
Okongwu.
USC. That's why I know his name, right?
Nah, he's sweet. He's sweet.
No, he's nice.
Avdija, the kid from Tel Aviv. So I mean, like there's you know, there's obviously some really good players. You know, you got RJ Hampton who took a year, took that year away, which didn't play in college.
Which they're projecting he may not even be in the lottery.
Yeah, they're talking about possibly, you know, him being maybe
late first round.
Yeah, maybe the 16th or something like that. 15, 16, somewhere around there. So, I mean, there's a lot of really good players, but no standout player. I think a huge part of it is there was no NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that didn't happen this year. A lot of these guys we haven't seen since February. But I think it leaves room for some draft day trades, and definitely some players moving. But Minnesota has the number one pick. Golden State has two, and Charlotte has three. Chicago with the fourth pick, and then Cleveland with the five. Those are the top five teams. Those are the teams drafting 1 through 5.
To me, it's a no brainer. It's three heavy, right?
Yeah, I would go with, the top three guys, like, I think is undisputed. I think LaMelo Ball, James Wiseman, and Anthony Edwards, like, those are your three guys.
Yeah.
But
in what order and what do those teams need?
Yeah, I'm going to say Minnesota should draft Anthony Edwards with the number one pick. You've got D'Angelo Russell as your point guard. You know, obviously, Karl-Anthony Towns is your center, so... You've got those top three guys covered.
Mm-hmm.
So I think go with Anthony Edwards as your number two, or as your, you know, let him play the number two, take him number one. Number two, Golden State, they could go either way with Ball or Wiseman. I would say draft James Wiseman. Take him, Golden State, take James Wiseman. Look, he's gonna add rim protection, which the Lakers are your, you know, the number one threat right now in the West. And LeBron James, you know, if a team has a rim protector, it gives LeBron James problems. Again, he's still LeBron James, but you're gonna give them problems. Obviously, Anthony Davis you're allowing him not to dominate. He's definitely an agile 7-footer.
7-1, yeah.
Yeah, so he's 7-1. He's a good 7-footer who can be able, even though Anthony Davis may stretch the floor and take you out to the 3-point line, he's going to be able to guard Anthony Davis. Again, he's a rookie going against Anthony Davis. I think Anthony Davis is still going to be able to give him buckets.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you still have Draymond Green, you know, who's a solid defender. So I like the Warriors taking Wiseman at 2. That's the safe pick, I think, for Golden State. You could obviously still trade him possibly. And then Charlotte, I think Charlotte should take LaMelo Ball with the third pick in the draft. I think Charlotte, that's why I brought up Russell Westbrook earlier. I think Charlotte's just a team that needs a star. You had Kemba Walker who kept that city relevant, who kept, you know, Charlotte around. You still mentioned Charlotte, and you know, and I think it's a city that needs some exciting players. They really haven't had any exciting players in their franchise, you know, since moving back from New Orleans. So, you know, Kemba Walker's their only guy. So I think LaMelo Ball brings a little bit of excitement, you know, some eyes over on Charlotte. So I like that. Chicago with the fourth pick.
Are you gonna go through every pick?
I'm just gonna go to the top five.
Okay.
Top five. Just the top five. Those are the ones I named, really. I already named five.
Okay.
Chicago, the fourth pick. I think the Chicago should take Obi Toppin with the fourth pick. And then I think Cleveland should take Avdija. I think that's how you say his name. With the fifth pick. So those would be my top five. That's where we're going. If I were to throw in some sleepers, I'm going to throw in two names that I really like. One is a little bit of a bias, but I'm going to go with Cole Anthony. I had to throw it in there. He's my guy, UNC. I'm a UNC fan. I like Cole Anthony. I'm going to look, they're projecting him going to Boston, and for Boston, that would be a huge pickup. And I really like him. He's going to be a solid. You like that kid. Dalen loves that kid. Carson Edwards. He's Dalen's a Carson Edwards fan. But I think Cole Anthony is, I think, the player that Dalen wants Carson Edwards to be. So, I think he'd be a solid player off the bench. And he'll be a big star, I think, for the Celtics. And then my other sleeper, the kid from Auburn, Isaac Okoro. I think he's the next Kawhi Leonard. They're talking, he's one of the best defenders. They're talking about him possibly being the best perimeter defender in the draft. I like this kid. I think he can be that next come into the league and be a defender, but then turn into an athletic threat. And then he's 6'6". He can
Where's
play.
Where's he projected?
Some teams are projecting him going in the top 10, but possibly to the Wizards at 9. Some, saying, maybe going, to like the Pistons
right here, number 7.
So, but I like him. I like that kid. So those are my two sleeper picks. Again, this draft, when it's all said and done, we're going to look back. The best player of this draft may not be in that top 5. So
thank you for that draft analysis.
That's my draft.
Great
analysis.
Preview there, team. Great breakdown.
I didn't know how detailed we were getting there. I appreciate that. Appreciate you sharing with us there, T. Well, since Terrell took all my time there,
yeah, make it quick here, Ry.
No, I just I don't have a ton, but what I do want to share is I think there's a very good chance that the T-Wolves throw everything off and draft Wiseman number 1. I think they believe that he is the best player in this draft, and I think they will just bite the bullet and pick the best player in the draft, who they believe is the best player in the draft. To me, I don't really know. I think potentially Anthony Edwards could be the best player in this draft. Obviously all those three are kind of a lock for the top 3 in my opinion. But I think there's a very good chance that Wiseman gets drafted number 1. And if that happens, what are the Warriors going to do there? They have an amazing backcourt. Do they pick up LaMelo Ball? I don't see them getting Anthony Edwards. They already have, if you think about it, they already have at this point Steph, Klay, and Wiggins, who are offensive weapons. Klay's a good defender, but Steph and Wiggins are kind of defensive liabilities at this point. Wiggins did a decent job when he came over the Warriors, kind of buying in. I think he could do an okay job buying into team defense, but he's been known for being kind of a defensive liability. And so if him and Steph are on the court at the same time, I don't know, bringing LaMelo in, how much that does for them, what position that puts them in. So if Wiseman does go number 1 to the T-Wolves, what do the Warriors do? Do they make a last-minute trade with Wiggins and that pick? Or do they bite the bullet? Do they pick Melo, or do they pick Anthony Edwards? I'm not sure, but I think there's a good chance that Wiseman goes number 1. I don't know who would fit best with the T-Wolves. Anthony Edwards probably does fit the best. I think you're right, because D'Angelo Russell is going to have the ball. I think Anthony Edwards potentially could play off the ball better than anyone. Obviously, Wiseman being a big man, but as far as guards, LaMelo needs the ball in his hand, and so does D'Lo. So I don't really see that working too well together. But if they do bite the bullet and pick up Wiseman, that would throw off a lot for this draft. So it would be really interesting to see what the Warriors do. And then you're kind of, do the Hornets try to trade up if they want Anthony Edwards, or if they're kind of eyeing him? I'm not sure what's going to happen, but it will be really, really interesting tonight to see what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think if Minnesota takes Wiseman, I could see something like Golden State drafting LaMelo Ball, then trading him to like Cleveland for like Kevin Love, and maybe Wiggins and Ball to, for Kevin Love, and you know, Zeddy Osman or something like that, you know, a player, you know, a player like that. So I could definitely, I could see that possibly. I mean, I don't know with Sexton there, but again, LaMelo, I don't know, maybe you can move that around, but I could see, I know Kevin Love is definitely a trade piece that they've talked about getting. I think they really want that stretch four or five or however you want to play it. I think that's really what they've been looking for. Obviously they talked about possibly LaMarcus Aldridge too. So I don't know. Yeah, you're right. James Wiseman going one, I think throws off a lot.
And to me, I want him to go one because I want to see what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I think like you said, Anthony Edwards for the T-Wolves is the safe pick. Wiseman's the safe pick for the Warriors, and Melo's the safe pick for the Hornets, or the right pick, I guess you could say, from an outside perspective. But what does Minnesota do with that number one will be really, really interesting to see. There was talks about them trying to bring Devin Booker over to Minnesota because of his relationship with D'Angelo and everything like that, and Karl-Anthony Towns, but obviously that's not going to happen with bringing in Chris Paul. So I'm pretty excited to see what's going to happen tonight.
Yeah, could they be the DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis type duo?
Hmm.
Possibly.
Potentially. We will definitely see what happens.
It'll be interesting to see how it plays out with the number one, like you guys were saying.
Yeah.
With Wiseman being drafted one, completely throws everything off. I don't think Minnesota will with Karl-Anthony Towns. You can't go wrong. I don't think either with LaMelo Ball or Anthony Edwards. In my opinion, right, I think LaMelo Ball is the best player in this draft. He's proven. He's played overseas. They know that he's an NBA-ready player.
From his stint in Lithuania or Australia, what were you referencing? LaMelo playing in Lithuania.
Chino Hills. Chino Hills. But I think it'll be interesting to see who they pick up. But I'm going to have to go with just a little bias here, but Onyeka Okongwu from USC, I think he's going to go four to the Bulls. His player comparison right now is Bam Adebayo, and I think he slips in there at number four. But
he's a nice player.
We'll see.
Obi Toppin to me doesn't have as high of a ceiling, but is a little bit more NBA ready. I think he's a safe pick. Everyone's projecting him actually to potentially be rookie of the year. Cause I think he's a little bit older. I think he played at Maryland for 3 years. If I believe so, I think he's a little bit older. But yeah, I could see that as well. And I think that'd be a really great pick, but whatever happens, all I know is free agency is exciting. And then this draft is going to be really exciting to see what happens, especially early on. I'm just super pumped for the NBA season.
Yeah, we're gonna do our best to stay on top of it.
That's right.
Keep everyone in the loop and
give you our hot takes.
Yeah, give you some hot takes. So, but yeah, hopefully our next week in review we'll recap a lot of things that have gone down. But we're looking forward to it. So, anyways, that was fun.
That was a great one.
Yeah, breaking down the NBA free agency, the trade rumors, the hot goss going around the league. And can't wait to see you guys in another episode of Water Break. So stay with us and stay hydrated.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Water Break. New episodes get released every Monday and Wednesday.
So be sure to hit that subscribe button on whatever podcast app you're listening to right now to be notified when a new episode is available. For more exclusive content, check us out on Instagram at Water Break Pod, or you can watch us on YouTube. Thanks for listening. Stay hydrated.